Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the second episode of the Afghan Brief, where we will be looking at latest news from Afghanistan in 15 minutes. I'm your host, Sangar Paikar, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ahmad Walid Kakar.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, Sangar, khutadi rawala, khush amati, marhaba, ahlan wa sahlan.
Hush geldin.
Hush geldin is... so now that we've got all of the inclusivity out of the way, that is correct. This is the second episode of the Afghan Brief. By Jose Shama, Taimara Shuro Khaham Kart. Let's go. So, Sangar, latest news from Afghanistan. We've heard reports of a deadly earthquake in the southeast of the country. According to reports, over 1,000 people dead, many other thousands displaced, injured. I understand, you know, we saw the Minister of Interior going to visit the struck areas, and I understand you've been not just fundraising but speaking to people on the ground in Kabul and in Khost Pakhtia. So why don't you break down for us what happened?
So two nights ago at 1 a.m., while everyone was asleep in Khost and Paktika,
just about 48 hours ago.
Yes.
Current. Yeah.
So around 1 a.m. there was an earthquake, and it is said that the epicenter of the earthquake was in Spera district of Khost. And Khost is the most eastern province in the southeast of Afghanistan. And in south of the province, the Spera district is adjacent to Paktika. And in Paktika, in the northeast, that part that is adjacent to Khost, there is the district of Gayan and Bermal. So that's where most of the casualties are. That's where most of the houses are destroyed and collapsed. That's
just along the Durand line.
Exactly, along the Durand line. And there are a lot of small villages in very remote areas in Bermal and in Gayan where there are practically no roads, okay? So there are hills, mountains, and there are dirt tracks, no roads, and there are no major hospitals or cities or markets, nothing. So
it's one of the most impoverished areas of Afghanistan.
Exactly. So what this means is that when the earthquake happened at 1 a.m. until the next morning, there weren't ambulances rushing to the region. So this is why the Afghan government, they deployed helicopters from Kabul, from Gardez, from Khost, from other parts of the country. The helicopters that they had at their disposal, they took those helicopters with medical staff, and there were also journalists who traveled to Khost and Paktika to deliver aid, but also to take all the injured people to nearby hospitals, because obviously they say that on the first day there was an estimate that over 1,000 people died in the earthquake, but there are many, many people who are injured, and we don't know how many people exactly, but all those injured people needed to be taken to hospitals, and most hospitals that can do that kind of treatment are either in Kabul or in Nangarhar or other regions. So this means that it was a huge operation to rescue everyone. And now, like today, I spoke to people who are in Paktika all day, and they said that most of the injured are already gone. They've been taken to hospitals. But the people who are left behind, they have no homes. They have no shelter above their head. There is food coming to Paktika and Khost, to those affected regions, and they're trying to send medical staff and medication and everything that is necessary. But it's going to take quite a long time for
the number of helicopters as well is pretty limited.
Exactly, because you see, this is the kind of situation where a country like Afghanistan, with all these mountains and hills, this is when you need helicopters. This is where you need an air force. But as you all know, a lot of those helicopters and other planes, they were taken to Uzbekistan and Tajikistan in August 2021 when the occupation ended, and the former regime, its president, basically, along with all these warlords, they took those airplanes to Uzbekistan and Tajikistan, and they fled from that part of the world to the Middle East and whatnot. But basically, those airplanes should have stayed in Afghanistan, because at a moment like this, they could have been used to help people. But alas, so
free.
So, Ahmad Walid, you have seen the response of the international community, how they responded to this catastrophe. There were numerous statements by a lot of dignitaries, diplomats. If you could paint a picture of what this catastrophe means and how the international community has responded, how would you paint that picture? And what does this mean for the current government in Afghanistan?
So you've heard the saying, the rule, that with every crisis comes opportunity. Now, beyond the practical reality of devastation that we've discussed, politics and geopolitics is no exception to that rule. So in practical geopolitical terms, after the fall or the liberation, whatever you want to call it, of Kabul in August, one of the things that we kept hearing international interlocutors say is that the Taliban are a reality and that engagement is the only way forward to avert X, Y, Z bad things. Now, that line of reasoning, that perception, has come under increasing scrutiny, criticism, and questioning due to some of the decisions taken by this new Afghan government, especially over the last few months. This earthquake and the humanitarian fallout, however, provides a rather sharp and a bit of a dark reminder of the uncomfortable truth of that perception that engagement, dialogue, is the only way forward. Furthermore, what we'll see, or what we can see, is that countries, a couple of days ago, Zabihullah Mujahid said that the United States was the biggest obstacle toward the new government being recognized, because not only was the United States not recognizing it, but he claimed that it was preventing others from recognizing the government. So we can see that countries that are more willing to engage with the Taliban, as in not toe the US line, may use the fallout or this humanitarian situation that's been created as a guise or a pretext to facilitate greater diplomatic activity at a higher level. So, for example, the United Arab Emirates, with which Afghanistan signed an airport deal under the leadership of Mullah Saeed Bradar, has opened an air corridor. And you mentioned India has sent a technical team and aid. And that also comes off the back of what seemed to be signs of a rapprochement between Kabul and New Delhi. Mawlawi Saeb Yaqub was on Indian TV not too long ago, where he was basically saying that he was open potentially to the idea in future that Afghan soldiers could be trained in India. So what we're seeing is that, you know, this situation, this earthquake and the humanitarian fallout, is actually facilitating further cooperation off the back of what seem to be warmer signals. On top of that, we've seen Qatar, Japan, the UK, India, I mean, I mentioned India, Pakistan, Iran.
You seem to be very fond of the reaction of India.
Yes. So all of these countries have either made statements, promised aid, or actually delivered aid, as well as, of course, the United States, which is interesting because Afghanistan is in the dire straits it is, whether it's helicopter strapped, thanks to the United States, whether it's cash strapped, thanks to the United States, or whether its economy is in a freefall, because of the United States stealing its assets. But nonetheless, that signal has been forthcoming as well. And the acting head of the UN mission to Afghanistan also basically summarized what I said. And he said, I quote, "We firmly continue to believe that a strategy of continued engagement and dialogue remains the only way forward for the sake of the Afghan people, as well as for international and regional security." So once again, to wrap up that perception of the Taliban have to be dealt and engaged with was, let's say, at its strongest point in immediately after the fall of Kabul, due to recent decisions that may have come under attack, criticism, and scrutiny. But this earthquake and the dire humanitarian situation it's caused only reinforces and strengthens once again that perception.
Thank you very much. Okay, so how many time do we have left?
We have 3 minutes left.
All right. Okay. So basically,
and I think Tariq Farhadi, just one thing, Tariq Farhadi, a previous guest on our podcast, amongst other people on social media, also said that, you know, this is, we are critics of this current government and we don't like many of its actions. However, this is not about politics. And, you know, you've seen that reaction on social media quite a lot, to be honest.
We've seen also other reactions on social media, people expressing all sorts of hate against the victims of the earthquake. Do you want to discuss that?
You know what? Sorry to the non-Pashto speakers here, but Sangar, you know the saying, Karwan Tiriji, Spira Piji. And ultimately, it's the meaning is that the caravan goes on as the dogs bark. And it may sound harsh and crude, but you know, there's no point getting offended by mere words. And it reflects a mentality that ultimately will corrode and rot and decay the ones whom it holds hostage. But Sangar, we have 2 minutes and 10 seconds left. I want you to tell us about the fundraising that you've been very actively involved in. How is that going and how are you actually operating with all of these, and it comes back to the American stuff, with all of these crippling US sanctions on the country, how was that going forward?
So you guys know that it is very difficult to send any money to Afghanistan. So if you open a GoFundMe page and you try to send money to Afghanistan, the page will be blocked and you can even get sued for trying to send aid to Afghanistan. So this is the reality at the moment. I know of friends who tried to send 50 euros to Afghanistan through a charity and their bank contacted them like, what are you doing? Why are you sending money to Afghanistan? So this is due to the sanctions and the problems that are created by the Americans. And Afghans have come up with a solution. What is currently working very effectively is that if you send Bitcoin to someone in Afghanistan...
1 minute left.
If you send Bitcoin to someone in Afghanistan, they can exchange that to local currency and then buy goods. So this is what a lot of people have been doing in the last 10 months. I have some friends who have been raising a lot of money in Afghanistan to help very poor families. So when I heard about this devastating earthquake, I decided to raise money with Bitcoin. A lot of people send money through PayPal, but I have to convert it to Bitcoin because when we send Bitcoin to Afghanistan, there are no fees. And plus, we can convert that to the local currency very simply. And we have raised more than $2,000. We've raised more than $2,000, and that money is going to be delivered by our team in Kabul to Paktika, most likely on Saturday.
Inshallah ta'ala. Well, thank you very much, Sangar. And that is 15 minutes of the latest news from Afghanistan. That was the second episode of the Afghan Brief covering this devastating earthquake and the humanitarian fallout in Paktika, Khost, and parts of Paktia. And for everyone that wants to contribute and help the people afflicted by that in this very difficult time for them, please visit Sangar's Twitter, which is at Paikar. And I'll, you know, I'm not even going to pretend like you guys won't know his Twitter, given that he is an absolute menace on there. That was the second episode of the Afghan Brief. Please help us to help you. And you can do that in a variety of ways. You can like this video on YouTube. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can tell your friends about us. And you can also, and this is one thing that is majorly lacking, you can also review our podcast on whichever audio streaming platform you're using. So if you are on your morning commute and you are listening to me on Apple, Google, Spotify, whatever it is, please leave a review. And that is a way in which other people will also come across our podcast. And finally, if you want to get involved in our project, which is to deliver a counter-narrative on all affairs Afghan in the English language, whilst remaining very acquainted, let's say, with people, customs, and norms in Afghanistan, our Patreon and our PayPal will also be in the bio. Sangar, thank you very much for not just being with us, but also not just for hosting the podcast, but for also the humanitarian work that you're doing at the moment. And finally, I ask and I pray that those afflicted by this earthquake, as well as all others who are afflicted by this man-made humanitarian crisis in Afghanistan, find comfort and their struggles and difficulties alleviated. And Sangar, do you have anything else to say?
Ameen. Ameen.
So, by Jazir Shama, I will be wrapping up this episode of the Afghan Brief. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for joining us.
Wa alaikum assalam.